co-pastor said, if it had not been for the Lord. And I know after God blesses you and you tell it over and over, you put a little bit more of you in there, you know, and how you knew he was going to bless. And, you know, you didn't really have 5 sleepless nights. By the time you tell it the fourth time, you had about 3 sleepless nights. And your faith kicked in. But I tell you, without the Lord. Without the Lord. So we give them all glory, honor, and praise. Just draw your attention to Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. Let us pray. Father, we honor you. We praise you. We thank you. You alone, Lord, are worthy. Have your way, God. Continually in this service. And help me crucify flesh so your word can go forth in the spirit in which you want it to go forth. That your people will be blessed. That we will leave here more encouraged. More nourished in your word than when we came in. We thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we want to talk about rewards. Rewards. You know, all kind of company have rewards now. You use your credit card and you can earn rewards. You must pay the bill, but you can earn rewards. You can get frequent flyer miles, and we saw something on TV about that's a big hoax. You can't even use them half the time. But everybody got all these rewards, and every store has a card, you know, all the markets, and even Rite Aid, Pep Boys got a card now. You can get rewards. And when they print your receipt out, it shows you the rewards that you are entitled to. But those rewards expire. If you don't play by the rules, you can't really get those rewards. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 18 talks also about rewards, but Matthew chapter 6 is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5 through 7 is the Sermon on the Mount, and it's called the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus gave it on a hillside near Capernaum. But in Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, he gives the Beatitudes. But after that, he does a whole lot of teaching and instruction. As a matter of fact, after Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, Jesus begins to teach about the salt and the light. He teaches about the law. He teaches about anger. Teaches about lust, divorce, vows, retaliation. By loving the enemies. A lot of teaching and instruction is going on because what he wanted to do, he wanted to let his disciples know and everyone that gathered there at the hillside at Capernaum, if you want to be a Christian, if you're going to be a kingdom citizen, you're going to have to know how to live this Christian thing because now things are different. You can't do what you used to do. You're a Christian now. You're a kingdom citizen. So now things have to change. And the problem with a lot of us in the body of Christ, the reason why we're not blessed, the reason why we find ourselves stuck is simply because we took on Christianity, but we didn't let go of the old stuff. And we're trying to live two lives in one body. Amen. That's where the problem is, because you want to come take, you want this smorgasbord. I want a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I don't want all that. Whatever God says, to take all of it, to be a Christian, to be a kingdom citizen, you can't mix this stuff up. You can't, yes you can, because most of y'all grown. You shouldn't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. That's a painful position to be in. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You either are or you are not. We can't just say that Sunday saint thing. No. We have to be able to be a Christian 7 days a week and 24 hours a day. Pastor, how can we do that? Because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We can no longer walk around talking about God know my heart. 20 years. God know the same stuff. But Jesus knew because he's been instructing the disciples and those that gathered. He said, you got to live different, think different, walk different, talk different if you're going to be a kingdom citizen. He let us know. But, you know, we forget when we read this. We said about the Sermon on the Mount. We say, oh, he taught them disciples. But guess what? He's teaching us. We read it like he was teaching them, but it is written and it's been preserved for you and for me. That when we look at the Word of God, that we'll get instruction from the Word of God. We want to get it from every place else. We go ask them, people on the job, they don't even go to church.
What you think about this?
Learn how to consult the right people. Learn how to consult the Word of God. It's amazing when people say what you want them to hear, they're all right. But when they say what you need to hear, or say what thus saith the Lord, we got a problem with that. You can go anywhere in this city and say anybody's name, but say Jesus is a problem. The cops might lock you up. You can say Zeus, Mohammed, Mabala, whatever you say. You say whatever you want. But you say Jesus is a problem. Like, you can't say that here. There's something about that name Jesus. And guess what? You and I as Christians, we are going to be the oddballs. You ought to be different. You ought not be afraid to be different. We're called and required to be different. We're peculiar people. We're a royal priesthood. But some of us, in order to be accepted, we will compromise and do and say. And no, that's not what Jesus taught. He taught us some different things to do. And teach about these rewards. When we become Christians, you ought to look for change. Sometimes you could be so comfortable in the life that you had, you don't even want change. We want, God ain't answering my prayer. Well, when you going to stop playing? God ain't doing this in my life. Well, when you going to let God in your life? It's very hard for God to work in your life if he doesn't have your life. Think about it. My car broke down. The mechanic won't fix it. Why? Because I didn't take it to the mechanic. In order for God to do what he needs to do, we got to surrender. We sang that song, all to Jesus, I surrender. In order for God to work in our life, we got to surrender. We can no longer lean to our own understanding. We got to go with him every step of the way. We need faith. We got to walk by faith and not by sight. Rewards. Look at Matthew chapter 6, talking about rewards. And he teaches us three areas in Matthew 6, 1 through 18. Number one, he teaches us how to give to the needy. How to give to the needy. Then number two, he teaches us how to pray. Then number three, he teaches us how to fast. But as we go through these verses, you got to understand, more important than what we say is the motive in our heart. He wants to know, why are you praying? Why are you giving this person this? Why you got to have a whole church watch you give somebody something? And you know what? I love the folk that do something for somebody. Tell them they did it from their heart. The Lord laid it on my heart. Well, why everybody in church know you did it for me? If he laid it on your heart, why you got to tell everybody? You knew at 10 o'clock we would have ministry together. Why you got to wait until the people, we ready to say all things come and say, you got to run, get your checkbook, write the check out, raise your hand for envelope. What's the motive behind what we do? Get mad with folk and throw it all up in their face. All the folk, if you don't do nothing for me, you got to talk about it. Don't tell me I don't have to pay you back. You're still mad at me. Why are you there? You ain't got to pay me back. Lord, have mercy. Then you get down on your luck, ain't got no money. And you start thinking of folks that you told didn't have to pay you back. What's more important than the words we use is the motive behind what we do in the name of Christ. Folk always walk around, the Lord told me to do this. The Lord laid this on my heart. We need to stop lying on God. Some of us, God, you ain't talking to God. How God going to tell you to do something? You ain't even talking with him. You got to have a conversation with God. A daily conversation to know the mind of God, to know what God's will is for your life. Too much stuff goes on in the body of Christ. Has nothing to do with church, nothing to do with God, nothing to do with the Word. It's just folks in the agenda. Number one, how to give to the needy. Look what he says. Take heed that you do not your alms, or you do not do benevolence and give folks stuff before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. You got what you wanted. You want to be seen? They saw you. You wait for God to answer your prayer, to answer, to give you something. God said, you already got it. What you mean I got it? I ain't get nothing for you, God. Well, what was the motive behind why you did what you did? Why did you wait? Why did you wait until that person lost their house and didn't give them the money? You want to be the Savior. Oh, my pastor, move on. Pastor, you messing up already. You are messing up. First Sunday back, you messing up. Look at verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thou alms, or when you give something to somebody, do not sound a trumpet before thee. Lord have, don't make no great big announcement. You don't have to close out the church. I am here. I give you this money. Now, can you change the name of the church? Sound no trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do. See, when Jesus was teaching, he said, you know what? If I don't give them an example, if I don't give them instructions, they're going to think them folks hanging around the synagogue are the way they're supposed to be. Because before I came, that may be all they knew. That may be all. See, if you don't give a child an example, they're going to make up something. They're going to follow somebody else. If you give a child, you tell a child, no, give an alternative. Show them the right way to do something. But Jesus said, let me instruct them. Let me show them. Don't be like the hypocrites, because they have no reward from my Father in heaven. Don't be like the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Wow. And when you look that word up in the Greek, that reward there means that it's like a wage. They got what they work for. My God, now pay attention. And that reward, and that Greek word, that means they got what they paid for. Amen. They campaigned, they got elected. But look in verse 3. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand. God said, when you do, just be humble. Just go in secret somewhere. Somebody, I love folk. There's so many folk that bless the church, you don't even know. They don't even want you to know. They put it on the note. They ain't got to tell nobody. I just want to be a blessing. And they serious. But the psalmist, and they get blessed because they do this. Their motive is right. Their motive is, I don't want to be seen. I'm giving God glory because God gave me this to bless the kingdom of God. And I'm doing it secretly, and I'm doing it in a humility and a humble fashion. And God's been taking care of me. Because the word of God says, but when thou do thy alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now that reward is a different Greek word. That reward is that God will pay you back, restore you. The other word, reward, for the hypocrite is the one wage, like something you work for. But this word is when God blesses you, he will render, he will recompense, he will restore, he will pay you back. Oh, my God. Think about it. So he teaches how to give. When you want to give something to somebody, give it to them. You got to have no big fanfare. We so slick. Do you think such and such is like this? You just want somebody to know you can really bless somebody. Just give it up. Let's pull them to the side and give it to them. What's all the conversation about? Oh, that they look nicer to me. They got a mantra. Oh! He ain't got no reward from the Father. You got what you wanted. You wanted somebody to look at you as this nice person. If you're a nice person, folk gonna know you're a nice person. You got to go around trying to make like you're a nice person. What's your motive? Why do you come to church? If you are over 30 and say you come to church because that's you've been with the church all your life, that's sad. You want to come to the church to worship God, give God glory, to give God praise. God ought to mean something to you more than just come out here. What somebody said, I would drug the church. What's the motive behind why we do what we do? Jesus said, "Let me instruct you how to give to the needy."
He said, you take care of them, I'm going to take care of you. As a matter of fact, a proverb says, you know, if you lend to the poor, I'm going to God give it back to you. I'm going to bless you. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. That's why you got stuff like Chosen 300. That's why you got folk in the church that bless other people, and you don't hear nothing about it, but they are blessed the more. Their cups are running over. But you all stingy folk. There's some stingy folk in the body of Christ. All they think about is them.
As Charles Stanley said last night, three people they pray for, me, myself, and I. All folk care about them and their family. That's not the gospel. That's not being a kingdom citizen. There's more citizens in the kingdom than just you.
You never get a chance to share. God never moves you to give, never moves you to share. It's all about you taking in and taking in and taking in. When you going to bless somebody else?
You got stuff you can't wear, stuff you can't use. You got so much food coming out your freezer door can't shut. You can't find nobody. Oh, I'm just saving up a hard time. Oh, Lord have mercy. If time gets that hard, we all need to give it up.
Giving to the needy. You gotta make no big thing about it. And some people just love it. They just love it. Some people say, I ain't got that ministry. But God wants us to have the right kind of motive when we do stuff. And then he says about prayer. This is awesome because you can block your own blessing with that prayer thing. He says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen as men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They got what they wanted. Like some of my brothers down on, was it still 15th and Market? They could be talking to you all of a sudden at a certain time, but they're going to fall out.
No, 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 no.
I said, okay, all right. But they want attention. They get attention. The last time I saw, they had some really weird looking stuff on. But they want attention. So God said, Jesus said, they have their reward. They have their ways. They got what they wanted. They can't look for nothing from me. Because of the way they're doing what they do. They pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets that they may be seen of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. We ought to be careful how we come to God and why we come to God. More important than the words we use, what is the motive of our heart? You know we can't fool God. God, if you lift me up off my sick bed, I'll never drink again. God, if you get me out of this rehab, I'll never snort nothing else again. God, if you do this, God, if you get me out of this marriage, I'll never marry again. Then we're going to get one the same like one to just had. Help me, somebody. Can't fool God. God, know what we're going to do. But what's the motive? Why do you want this? Why do you want that car? Why do you want that house? Why do you want that job? Are you going to bless somebody? You going to ride somebody in your car? No, your car is so nice, you don't want nobody ride in it. Your house so clean, can't nobody live in it. You want the job, so you can boast about it. Where does God get the glory out of the lives if we got the wrong motive? You got your reward. You want folks to look at you and to praise you and to talk about how great you are? He said, you got your reward. But look at verse 6. But thou when thou prayest, Christian, thou when thou prayest, kingdom citizen, enter into thy closet. That means you don't have to have nobody. Nobody got to come with you. Come on. Nobody got to know you praying. The whole block know you praying. You got the music up all loud. Incense coming all out your house. Yolanda screaming at the top of her lungs. What's that going to do? Oh, that's a prayer time. 7 o'clock.
Everybody in the block know you, Christian. They're yet or in the wrong way. Okay.
Enter into thy closet when thou hast shut thy door. Pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
God said, when you do it the right way, I'm going to reward you openly, because then people are going to say, hey, who is your daddy in heaven?
And that reward, again, is a different Greek word. It's talking about God will recompense, he will restore, he will pay back, and he will give. It's different than the hypocrite. They got a wage. They got something they earned, something they wanted. But when thou prayest, he said, use not vain repetition. That has nothing to do with being persistent in prayer. God is not saying do not be persistent in prayer. He's talking about vain repetitions, trying to get people's attention,
For they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. He's just saying the same thing over and over again, trying to get people's attention, not trying to get God's attention. You might go somewhere sometimes, folk will pray like that. You say, they ain't going nowhere near heaven.
Didn't he pray? Didn't she pray? Yeah, for 3 hours.
Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him.
After this manner, therefore, pray ye. You know, when we do this prayer, we ought to pray with confidence, with boldness, and with assurance. He said, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is instructing the disciples and those that gather there. This is how you pray. This is how you get in touch with my daddy. This is how you get your daily bread. This is how you get things in your life. You don't have to do it all in front of people. Folks don't need to know about it. You don't have to stand on the street corner. I am a Christian and I'm calling on the name of my God.
Thy kingdom come.
You're not going to pray for God's kingdom to come if you're not a kingdom citizen.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Your kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, you're a kingdom citizen. That kingdom is God's rule on earth. God's rule on earth. You're following God's rule on earth.
Therefore, there's a manner in which we pray. You don't have to pray all over here and over there. This is a good prayer. It covers everything. Give us this day our daily bread. Don't be greedy. That's what happened in the wilderness with the Israelites.
He said, look, I'm going to feed you manna every day. So it's ready to be the weekend. They thought the bakery would be closed. And they try to store up some stuff and turn into worms. God said, if you don't depend on me,
if you don't depend on me with what I told you I was going to do. I don't know. Maybe I talk about myself. Sometimes God just took a little bit too long. I stepped out and messed up. I don't know if you ever did that before. And still had to go back to God.
Still had to wait.
My God. Oh, my. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Some version will say, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
What are you saying? God, I'm okay with this arrangement. I'm okay with you being God. And I'm being your child. I'm okay with calling you daddy. And I'm being your daughter or your son. I'm okay with you having everything. Because you can give everything to me. I'm all right with this arrangement. But as you said, God, I'll pray in secret. And you will reward me openly.
You will restore me openly, God. I don't have to be out on the street. I don't have to go out and show everybody. You know, if you're a Christian, you got to
walk around with no big cross around your neck. And as I say, the Bible off your coffee table. You know how back in the day, the big Bible, you walk around a big Bible and a lunch bag and a big cross. If you're a Christian, somebody's going to know you're a Christian. And they will see it because of your consistent walk with Christ. Not because of your every now and then, hallelujah, but our consistent walk with Christ. And it's okay, dare to be different. Stuff that, you know, they want you to do stuff, you don't have to do stuff. They want to go places, you don't have to go there. You don't have to look at that movie, you don't have to look at that magazine. You don't have to do this, you don't have to go to lunch, you don't have to drink. You don't have to do all that kind of stuff. Not saying those things are bad, but you don't have to do all that kind of stuff to be a part of. You are, in fact, different. Think about it.
God delivered me from alcohol. They invited me to a beef and beer. You gonna go sit there and eat beef?
Stop putting yourself in situations. The Holy Spirit will let you know if you got the power to go in there. If God delivered you from crack, don't go in the crack house until you know you've been delivered from crack. Going around thing, playing in the devil's playground. Not until God has totally delivered you. See, we need to understand that thing.
No, we walk out, well, God know my heart. That ought to scare the heck out of us. Who are you using as excuses? It's a funny excuse. He know my God and you know my heart. I'm so glad you're merciful and gracious.
But he's teaching us in these Sermon on the Mount. He said, I'll teach you how to give. And everything is done in a humble fashion. Everything is done quietly. But it rewards us openly. Got folks talking about, how'd I get this? How'd she get, how her son get in that school? How they move over there? They built the house up from the ground. They built the church. God will blow folk mind. That's what I like about, you know why you can do it in a humble fashion? Because when folk find out what God did for you, they don't want to be lifting you up. They bring attention to you. You ain't said a word, but when they find out God blessed you, all of a sudden they will be your friend. They won't come to your church. They want to worship, but they will be around you because of what God is doing in your life. So he taught us how to give. He taught us how to pray. And then he said, I'm going to teach you how to fast. But let's finish this prayer. You can block your blessings. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if he forgives not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Lord, have mercy. We need to think about that. You come up, you in prayer at home, or you come to the altar to pray. Lord, bless me. You go back and you see, I don't feel no different. But God says, you need to be forgiven some folk. We need to let go of some stuff. Some of us got some stuff where we've been hating people for years and people dead and gone. How you going to get to them? You better talk to God about that thing. Or they going on with their lives and you still hating on them. They going on, got remarried, got another set of kids, and you still mad. Last time you check on the internet, they doing well. You all somewhere swollen up mad. Learn how to let go of stuff. You can do it because you can say, God, look, I need you to help me. Don't walk around thinking you got to be able to deal with everything. Let God get your mind. Let God have that stuff. The stuff that blocks us from getting out, but the stuff that blocks us from growing in Him. The stuff that blocks us from understanding God's Word. The stuff that blocks the flow of the anointing in our lives. Get that stuff away. Get over it. Let it go. I know we say it's easier said than done, but guess what? Keep on praying that prayer. God, please deliver me from such and such. Because sometimes you be so mad, you have to pray sometimes. God, don't let me see her. God, please don't let me see him. Because you know you're not all the way delivered yet out of that thing. You know, they say, God, please bless me. Bless me. And Lord, if I do see him, God, make sure it's, you know, we have an order, some kind of restraining order. Lord. Y'all know, you got to be a Christian, but you got to be real. We're spiritual, and we're still in that flesh thing. So don't play yourself. Tell yourself the truth. Let God know when you're mad. God, I'm mad. Ain't nothing I can do about it. I'm mad. Right now, I'm mad. I'm spitting fire mad. If they sure right now. Let me call my pastor and resign my membership. I got to do me a little something. Learn how to talk to yourself. Know yourself. Learn how to laugh at yourself. Some of us too deep for ourselves. So deep. But God said, when you give, give in a humble fashion. When you pray, he said, pray. And don't pray waiting for people to hear you or look at you, but pray secretly, and I'll reward you openly. But have a prayer, have a spirit of forgiveness. And sometimes folks don't even know they did you wrong. And sometimes they do. But that's not the issue. The issue is, can you forgive them? Can you take the high road so you can live your life? They tried to mess you up, but they didn't. Because if they had the victory, you'd still be there. But God showed you something, and he gave you a way out. So you got the power to forgive, because now you're going to move on and live your life the way God wanted. And don't worry about all these years, because all things work together for the good of them who love them. Come on, you got to understand that there's no waste of time. If whatever when God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But if you seek him, things will begin to happen. If you walk with him, if you love him, if your life belongs to him, if your heart belongs to him, and you have surrendered unto him, then you, if you're not a member of the club, why are you trying to get the benefits? You even need a pass to get in BJ's. You don't have no pass, you get to the register. They don't need, you can have $5,000 worth of stuff.
No, they might give you a pass for that. You might have $500 worth of stuff. And lastly, he taught us how to fast. Matthew 6:16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. Don't. If you fast and chill, anoint the oil and wash your face, okay? Come in here Sunday morning. You are?
I'm fast.
It look like you're slowing. God told you to fast. What's the problem? It's okay. But see, what's the motive behind? As a matter of fact, you was okay till you got the 51st of Walnut. Then you would have put the face on. You mad because you passed by Dunkin' Donuts. You passed by McDonald's. But God told you to fast, and you mad. And I will agree, and I'll let you know that on your first day, somebody will come with something that smells good. You know what I mean? A cold bologna sandwich smells good on the first day when you're fasting. I wish I had a witness up here. A cold bologna sandwich, which ain't got no smell, smell good the first day of your fast. So just keep on smiling. Because Matthew 6 said, I don't want you to be like the hypocrites, a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you that they had their reward. They got their wages. They got what they paid for. They got what they were looking for. They got what they wanted out of the whole deal. But thou, he's talking to the folks that want to be Christians for the kingdom of sin. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. Because fasting is really to get you like more spiritual strength, to get you more spiritually focused. And you know, you go without food, and you know, it teaches like self-discipline, but it's between you and God. Because by the second day, you on. You get you some water or something, you know, you be okay. As a matter of fact, when it is time to eat, you can't eat like you used to eat. But fasting is awesome. But he said, you ain't got to let everybody know. He said, you okay? I'm fasting. Can you sing the song this week? No, I'm fasting. Can you preach this week? No, Pastor, I'm fasting. He says, you don't have to pin on the people to fast. You know, a lot of us need recognition. We want to be recognized. A lot of us need attention. So we're going to start selling a button called Look at Me. if one Sunday you ain't get no attention at your house, we're going to have your button hanging down there with your name on it. Look at Me. You don't have to appear to them in the fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly, which means he shall restore you and bless you. Because you know what? When we do it, this will be giving God glory. And God say, when you give to the needy and you give me glory, I'm going to bless you. When you pray the prayer the way you should pray it, for my glory, I'm going to bless you. When you fast and pray for my glory, I'm going to bless you. And nobody else needs to know, because what I want them to see, I want them to see me powerful in your life. I don't want them to talk about the fact that you were on the corner praying. I want them to talk about the fact they didn't see you pray. But when you came out your house, it looked like you prayed, because you had everything that you needed. Because when they saw you Friday, you went in bent down. But when they saw you Monday, you came out standing up. God said, my ways are not the world's ways, and my thoughts are not the world's thoughts. I don't operate like the world. I do things different, and I back up my promise. You ain't got to be the most spiritual person in the church. Just be spiritual. You ain't got to be the deepest one in the body of Christ. Just be deep in the Lord. But God said, whatever you do for me, the way it should be done, for my glory, I'm going to bless you openly. Secret, openly.
Not secret hiding, but just that you don't need a whole lot of fanfare. Well, why do I need some fanfare? Because, God, I'm doing this because you've been so good in my life. God, I trust you. That's why I'm doing it the way you say do it, God. I believe you, God.
You don't need 100 people knowing what you're doing. Just keep on praying. But when it comes time to give God glory, give God testimony, come on.
Don't hold back. God, I called on you and hear my blessing is. One thing about the rewards and promises of God, they don't expire. You know, I talked about the reward program with your credit cards and stuff. They be changing that stuff up. Matter of fact, they tell you, oh, you maxed out. How am I maxed out on my points and I'm still using your card? That's not right. But they have so many rules and regulations. And all Jesus said, if you just do this in secret, I'll reward thee openly. He never runs out of rewards. And the stuff doesn't change. And you know what? You got to be all right this way. You may not get all the rewards you think you deserve in this life. But guess what? It's like a pack of Nihilators. I wish I had a witness. Anybody remember Nihilators? Anybody remember Nihilators? You eat some now? God is a Nihilator God. Say, you don't get it now, you're going to get it later. Amen. They don't make them like they used to. A little small pack. You got to eat them all now. Let's talk about the old Nihilator, the old one. But God is the one that's keeping us. You may not have all the money you think you need, but God's keeping you. He's keeping you. He's making you get the ability to pay your bills, to keep a roof over your head and stuff. See, you got to begin to praise God for what you got. So many of us are trying to get more from God instead of thanking Him. Don't be like the hypocrites, because you're getting mad and start doing other stuff. You already have your reward. Oh, God, I stopped praying, and I went and called this person, and I went here. Well, you got your reward. God, don't look nothing from me. Don't look for nothing from me. Don't look for nothing from me. You didn't do it according to my will and according to my word. But God said, once you know. And then, God, you give us the power to learn how to wait on you. All of us got to, all of us fight with that thing called impatience. Oh, we're so impatient. We struggle with that thing. But God is able. And sometimes what God will do, He will bless you right away. I've seen God heal folk right away, as some preacher would say, and sometimes it took over a period of time to heal them, but they still got healed. Why? Because in their prayer, God spoke to them, and God said, I'm going to heal you. He didn't give them a time frame. They walked around like, He said, go heal me. They still limping. They still taking medication. They still eating certain kind of food. But after a while, but. Oh, we need to understand the Word of God. There's so much in the Word of God that we don't know and don't understand that will give us the victory. You walk around different when you know what your daddy said. How many of us had a father that would say some stuff and he meant it? You go around, my daddy said. My mama said. But we have a now or later God. You may not get what you think you want or deserve now, but God's like, I'm blessing you right now. But if you don't get it now, you're going to get it later. See, that's good. That's good. Because, you know, we were looking at some stuff at our house, and we found some of these gift cards, and sometimes you call the number, and they expire. And some of them still, you know, they had to change the law. They had to change the law that the gift card can't expire because the store got the money. You never use a gift card, they will tell you it expired. You got the money. I'm so glad Jesus don't play games. I have to call the 1-800 number.
Now or later, God. What does all that mean? Well, let's close out. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. It's now or later, God. Talking about rewards. The Word of God is your best friend, my best friend. As a matter of fact, another thing Charles Stanley said is, you know what? Every time I'm going through something, I go in the Word of God and find somebody who's going through what I was going through. And then I read that story over and over again. And I looked at how God delivered them. I looked at what they did. If they prayed three times, I'm going to fall on my knees and pray three times a day. Lord, he said, I find somebody in the Word of God that closely resembles what I'm going through. If I need to be healed, I find somebody in the Word of God that was sick with a similar disease. And I see what, oh Lord, have mercy. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 50. Paul reminds us about the now later. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump of the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? That's a good word, because it says, suppose you lost a loved one, and you thought the grave had the victory. Well, that's what you're thinking now. But if you wait till later. Oh, Lord have mercy. That's what you felt now. That's what you're feeling now. But if you wait till later. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be ye steadfast. Stop running in and out of church. Stop letting folk run you away from here and there. Stop letting the devil get the victory over your life. Stand on the Word of God. Stand in the blood of Jesus. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't get tired of working for the Lord. Don't get tired of doing ministry. Take a break sometime. Take a vacate. That's what vacation means. I vacated the place. Oh, I wish I had a witness. You know what? Sometimes you can't work every overtime. Turn some of that stuff down and get some rest. You old cranky, evil person, you. You make so much dog on money, you cranky and evil. And you need some sleep somewhere. You need to go away, get some sleep, get some rest. You done turned into another person. Lord have mercy. Guard all your gold. Ain't nobody being blessed by that. You got to take around. All the money you made now, you got to spend on hospital bills and stuff. You all sick and all messed up. Don't even know. I guess they don't even know what day it is, but that's an inside joke. Amen. Revelation 21, verse 1 through 7. Look what John said on the Isle of Patmos about the rewards. This is what he said about now and later. And I saw a new heaven. If you stick around long enough, I hate going to the movies and you got to leave or somebody that got to go. You can't see the end. Yeah. Yeah. You got to ask somebody else, how did the movie end? I had to leave. Sunset got sick. Sunset got scared. John said, I stayed long enough to see my now and later. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no... See, you got to stay around long enough to see the first earth pass away. But you got to believe God. If you don't believe God, you're not going to stick around long enough. If you don't believe God, you're not going to hang in there. You're not going to come to church. You're not going to praise God. Some of us, when something happens in our lives, we want to pull away from the church, pull away from everything. But if you know the God that I know, no matter what happened in your life, you got to come worship Him and praise Him and lift Him up and magnify Him and glorify and understand His ways. And even when He smacks me around, He's still my daddy. He's still good to me. He's still worthy of all the praise. Well, He don't just smack me around for nothing. He's trying to teach me something. He's trying to get me to see something. He's trying to get me to realize something. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, that's the later, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And you knew how it was. You go back and get that little pack of knowledge and open up that wrapper. And you know it was a cellophane wrapper, and it made noise. And mama said, you in that kid? No. You messing with that kid? No, I ain't. It fell. Because you got tired of now, you want some later. Look at verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe anybody home. They call this church a tissue church. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things, the things that were now, the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. That's awesome. Paul explained it now later. John explained it now later. But when I go back to John 3:16, I go back to the one who promised, who made the promise to me. I go back to the original man who made the now later. God in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I said we were talking about rewards. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We just came back from vacation to let you know you got eternal life. You're not waiting on it. You already got it. What you're waiting on is for Jesus to come back. There's so much tied to your salvation. There's joy. There's peace. There's healing. There's deliverance. There's many rewards with your salvation. You just got to know how to access your salvation. You got to know how to pray in secret, give in secret, and fast in secret, and God will reward thee openly. But I'm mighty glad that I will not perish, but have everlasting life. I got my rewards. I'm going to get some now, and I'll get everything later. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what we used to do. With the now later, you will eat some now, but if your friends came over, you eat them all up later. You ain't want to. So when Christ comes back, you get everything. Hallelujah. And there's so much other stuff you don't have to worry about because you won't need it. Won't need no mortgage, baby. Won't need no new central air. I might not need these sunglasses. So much stuff you don't need. Won't need all them suits. Go to the barbershop. Cook the ribs on the grill. Coming back and forth to church. Because every day will be Sunday. Think about all the stuff you want to deal with. Going to the doctor. Getting them bad reports. Make me buy all that medication and make me dizzier. Oh, this pill messed up this. Oh, now we got to give you this. Oh, let's reduce this so we can up this. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, will you heal me? They tried to kill me. Oh. Think about it. What you're going through now, but what you're going to get later. So, Father, I reckon that the suffering of this present time cannot be compared. But what I'm going to get in the future. And that word reckon is it is an accounting term. That means when you looked at it and you added it all up, you reckon. You did a reconciliation. You reckon that whatever you're going through now. Now, some of us are going through. Some folks sick. You know, there's a lot going on in the body of Christ. But guess what? You got your later. You got your later. And the problem with the now and later, but the candy is that when you had the candy, you go back and get it when you want. But now and later spiritually, you got to get the later when God said you're going to get it. But what I like about God is as you keep on living for him and worshiping him, he might throw you another little piece of now later. Let you know, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Let us all stand. There may be some souls here today, someone here today, that understood this whole thing about rewards and how we're supposed to live for Christ, how we're supposed to honor him, how we do things in a humble fashion and a secret way he rewards us openly. And God is saying today, if you're here,
realize that Jesus Christ came that you might have this life and you may have it more abundantly. So God is saying.